All right, Jack, kicking off hour number two. Glad you are with us on a Monday. Plenty action-packed week that awaits us. The NFL draft, got the Hawks and the Nets. Now a series, 2-1.
Ooh, Atlanta's scary.
Atlanta's got to, there's at least two more games. There'll be one tonight and then one on Wednesday for sure. So you got that. There's that match play thing in golf that's going on. And then Saturday, there's a big fight.
Big fight. And Brett Brehm is so rooting against the Hawks. He's convinced himself there's no way, because we have discovered, thanks to the young guys, Eric and Sam at the trouble, Meat Mountain.
Well, and Eric even went on a recon mission to Arby's and asked, do you have the Meat Mountain here? Because apparently it's not a menu item. It's something
you have to ask for it.
It's something that you can ask for, and they do actually have the button on the cash register.
Oh,
so it, you know, it exists, but it's just something that you have to, you know, if you're in the know, you ask for it, and then it's like it's $10 and 880 calories and I guess there's just a side if the Hawks end up losing and or something, you know, for me at the end of it, it's like, okay, fine, I don't have to eat that.
It would be like, remember when Elaine ate, who was it, Prince Edward's cake, when he abdicated the throne and Mr. Peterman bought it for like $25,000, and then she realized
she thought it was an Entenmann's or she replaced it with an Entenmann's.
Right, and it was 60 years old, and
yeah.
And he said, well, Elaine, is that cake still with you? She goes, well, yes. I think when it leaves you, that will be punishment enough. So thinking about poor Brehm in the Meat Mountain.
Well, the Hawks are still, when we were, last we're here on Friday, the Hawks were 10 wins away from that, and they remain 10 wins away from it since they couldn't beat the Nets over the weekend. But they'll try again tonight in game number 4. And, you know, the thing is that this Kevin Love injury is going to be something. When you're getting to the second opinion, I mean, this might be, you know, this could be maybe a postseason ender or something for him. So that's just something to watch.
They think it's that bad.
Well, I don't know, but it sounds like it.
In a shoulder, you don't know. I mean, it could be one of those deals, a game or so. That could be a lingering thing.
It seems like they're making a big deal about it, or he's getting a second opinion that maybe they're fearing the worst possibly.
Well, I know even Coach Perno told me he hurt his shoulder playing football for Clark Central.
Former SEC coach.
That's right. That's
coach
right.
According to the SEC network, he coached somewhere in the SEC, but we're not sure where. That's how he was introduced.
Dari Noka, got to do your homework there. But it still bothers him today.
Yeah.
Guys who've had him, it's rough. Then I've got another buddy of mine who played football back in the early 80s. He's got a titanium knee, hip, and shoulder, so he like sets off the metal detector going off.
Oh, that's a pain. You're always getting frisked then probably at the airport. Yeah, but I mean the Cavs are like 3-4 this year with Love out of the lineup. So,
well, you know, he's a big guy who can shoot.
Right, and Atlanta's discovering that they're struggling with that in this series with Brooke Lopez, which brings us to today's 5 at 5, brought to you, as always, by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, Hawks in Brooklyn, game 4 tonight. How does this thing go for Atlanta? I mean, are we concerned, or is this just the first? You know, we figured Atlanta would probably win in 5, and so, okay, Brooklyn won a game at home, and now it'll be well tonight. The Hawks will win, and then they'll just knock them out Wednesday.
I think they're a little bit nervous. And also, the MOVs weren't that great in the two games at home.
Wait.
Victory.
Oh, the margins of victory,
and
yeah.
But I think here's the thing with this Atlanta team. You know, they've surprised everybody this year, so I think did we expect a little bit too much in this first round? You just get the feeling they're probably going to have to win a lot of close games.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is during the regular season that they were blowing teams away.
They had the win streak.
Yeah.
What were they with the number, too?
They covered every one of those games in that win streak.
I got a Yeah, buddy of mine had a nice little run.
Yeah,
doing
just
that.
Keep going.
Yeah,
if only I had gone and had one of those sports almanacs from Back to the
Where's
Future.
Where's Biff?
Yeah.
Where's Biff?
Because that one you could have explained away. Like, no, I live in Athens. I'm just a Hawks fan.
I'm
blindly loyal to them.
Who did they have in the World Series?
It was the Marlins and the Cubs. Well, it was
Miami and the Cubs.
That would have been weird if they had called them the Marlins.
Yes.
But no, it was the Cubs and by the way, the Cubs are having a good year now. They brought up that Chris Bryant, and after he struck out 3 times in his debut, and apparently the fans in Wrigley were telling him he was terrible. And now he's like knocking the cover off the ball.
You know, the guy, I mean, even with a dead bat and dead ball, he hit 31 home runs at the University of San Diego one year. I mean, this is like when the guy who was leading Georgia had three.
Like within the last couple of years?
Yeah, he did that in 2013.
Oh, yeah. No one was hitting home runs.
No.
Then. Yeah, so he's mashing. You know who else is mashing? Your boy, A-Rod.
He's playing good.
He's trying to collect a bonus, and the Yankees don't want to pay him. Typical.
Well, they need to just keep holding out and see if he could maybe carry him.
Yeah. Well, typical, you got the big company there that doesn't want to pay its employees what they're...
Wait, I thought we were talking about the Yankees, not radio.
No, we're talking about the Yankees. So that's the whole thing with that A-Rod thing. That was basically just a business there, the Yankees, that did not want to pay that guy. So
they should have never brought him in.
Tried to railroad him. Yeah.
No, I mean, I was not a fan of the move because they wound up at that point. They parted with Pettit and Soriano. I'd rather have kept
those guys. Well, now they don't want to recognize the accomplishment of him hitting of tying or passing Willie Mays. They sure didn't have a problem when he hit 8 home runs in the 09 playoffs.
No, that was good.
Yeah. They don't want to take they were recognizing that accomplishment. The Yankees.
The empire.
Just the evil empire.
No, that's when the Yankees
just keep in mind, as much of a rich a-hole as you think A-Rod is, so is Hank Steinbrenner, except he's richer.
I'm not a fan of his.
Yeah.
I was a fan of the boss.
And his dad was one, too, except a lot richer than A-Rod.
I had somebody ask me the difference between rich and wealthy. I said, I'll give you the old sports one. A guy like A-Rod, he's very rich. You know who's really rich and wealthy? The guys who are signing his checks.
Right. And now here they are. They realized we made a bad deal, and now we don't want to pay him the money we owe him. That's what this whole thing boils down to. And now this bonus that he's going to collect is, now they're trying not to get it. Oh, it's not a milestone. It's not a marketable milestone.
To tie Willie Mays?
Yeah, that's what the Yankees' claim is.
Well, I don't count it, but it is a milestone.
Yeah.
I mean, listen,
those home runs he hit in the 09 playoffs.
I do that. I'm still 755, 714, and 660.
Yeah.
You know, I had somebody ask me the other day, like, how many guys have 600 home runs now? And it was 3 forever. But now, A-Rod's done it. Bonds has done it. Griffey's done it. Did Sosa do it, too? Did he get to 600?
Did he?
I think it's...
I'll have to look up.
It's at least,
I think he did, yeah.
It's at least 6 guys now. It was 3 forever.
Palmeiro never did
no,
he?
No, he didn't get to 600. But no, I used to be able to tell you, like, in order.
Well, it was only,
it was Aaron Ruth Mays, and then you had, I guess, Frank Robinson was next, and then Ted Williams, and you had Mantle and Reggie. I mean, it was pretty easy to do. I guess Eddie Matthews and Mel Ott. You had a couple of guys who had 5'11", one with 5'13". I know Griffey got to 600, and I know A-Rod, so it's at least 6.
Oh, Tomei's in there now, too. Jim Tomei.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so Sosa got to 609. So it's
Bonds. So there are 8 guys, including Jim Tomei.
Yeah. It's Bonds, Aaron, Ruth, Mays, A-Rod.
Chris, when can I get in that state where you're just getting old videos for me like my buddy Clay's old Auburn pal?
Whenever you're ready, because
I'm ready. This
YouTube channel that I follow, they just posted the 85 Georgia-Florida game.
Okay.
I know you'll enjoy that one. The Gators are ranked number 1. They did not win.
No, 24-3.
So Tomei and then Sosa. Sosa at 609. And then poor Frank Robinson. He's just way behind
now. Is it 589?
586, according to what I'm looking at.
Who were the – let's see, you got down around 5 – the two guys – you had Eddie Matthews, Mel Ott. Who was tied with 511?
512, Ernie Banks and Eddie Matthews.
Okay, and how many does Ott have?
Ott had 511.
Okay, so Banks and
Matthews. Right behind him was Gary Sheffield, who hit 509. Although, boy, when he played for the Braves, he barely got a hit in the playoffs.
No doubt. No doubt.
I think he had 3 total hits in 3 playoffs with the Braves.
Yeah, he just was not clutch.
Pujols is up there, too, 523, so he's still counting.
Yeah.
I guess Manny's retired now. He ended at 555.
Didn't he try to make a comeback this year, sound like with an independent
league team?
He
did, yeah. So anyway, there you go. I don't know how we got sidetracked from the Hawks in Brooklyn to what do you think Hawks going to win tonight?
I don't know, Chris. I'm a little shaky.
You know, I like to follow the point spread.
What's the line?
It was 2.5 the other day. They're favored by 4 tonight.
So they like them a little.
So
better.
Even after losing, they like Atlanta. You know, it's about adjustments and bouncing
so
back.
Coach Bud, all right. I'm going to go with the Hawks. I'll take the Hawks. by three.
Okay. Well, you got to figure out, they've got to solve this Brook Lopez situation. They were 1-for-17 shooting against him Saturday, and he had a double-double.
I'll say this. If the Nets win this series, it would be the most Atlanta sports thing in history, because you go from being number one seed, could make the finals, and, hey, we could get the number one pick in the draft because we've got the Nets pick. Oh, gosh, they made the playoffs. Oh, and that's who we play. And if they beat them, that would be the most Atlanta pro sports.
Yeah.
Of all their bad luck in history, this would be at the absolute top of the list.
And this isn't like an eight seed, you know, like Golden State swept New Orleans.
No, they were
44 and 38, yeah, and had Anthony Davis. This team's 38 and 44. The Hawks won 60 games. But tonight is really it's now the swing game. Is that, you know, beginning? I thought the Hawks would win in five games. Okay, so Brooklyn took a game. But tonight's the game. That determines whether or not this is a knee-knocker series for Atlanta, or whether or not they'll just put them out of their misery Wednesday night. You know, but Brooklyn has definitely shown fight. I mean, they showed fight in those first two games. They were down 16 in game one and still came back and made it interesting. So they're not going away.
Do you think they'll get some bandwagon fans? Like one of those years when the Lakers were down and the Clippers made the playoffs, they had a couple of bandwagoners. Like, is Spike Lee going to show up in his famous Brooklyn hat?
I don't think
Spike
will.
He loves the Knicks too much.
I think so, yeah.
Because he even, with his relationship with Jordan, even with all that, when MJ made the comeback, he goes, money, money, money. Dropped a double nickel on my beloved Knicks. He wouldn't even root for MJ against the Knicks.
I don't think Spike would do that. Now, would Woody Allen? I don't even think Woody Allen would. That Brian Williams might, though.
Boy, that
guy's a liar.
Did you see they found like 10 more things?
Yeah,
like,
it just keeps piling up.
Hey, did I mention to you that Jack Nicklaus wanted me to sign that flag also so two Masters champions could sign it?
Oh, really?
Yeah, me and him.
Yeah, wow. When did you win the Masters?
Right after I won the national title for Georgian tennis back in the 80s.
Well, I remember that reading that article that one time about you being recruited by Georgia to play tennis
here. That's exactly right. That was between dating Kathy Ireland and Stephanie Seymour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, God, that's three. Can we come up with seven more?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bunch. I did get the greatest gift of all time. My good friend George Bezekny. I got to go to the Masters, me and him and Trent Allen. And Mr. Nicklaus Mr. Nicklaus was kind enough to sign a 2015 Masters flag for old JD.
And you have that now. Is it in possession yet, or is it on its way?
It is in possession.
Wow.
That is right next to I've got my most valued little treasure. I've got Irk Russell's nameplate from when he was at Georgia.
Yeah. Well, you better have that thing safely hidden, and for the next time, like some frat boy mistakenly thinks your place is his and kicks your door in.
No kidding. Yeah, that's
that's a problem in that area you live in.
Because there are too many apartments nearby.
Yeah.
I called them. They go,
oh, wait, I don't live here? No, you don't.
No, but even my neighbors who have a large house. Yeah, we had on during rush, three young men wound up getting cuffed because they were knocking on the door. It's like, this is not the house. Yeah, but they told me to come here. This is not the fraternity house. This is not the fraternity. You need to keep walking. And finally the cops showed up. And it was, and even still, when the kid was getting cuffed, he was like, well, no, but what do you?
They told me to come.
The hazer, not the hazy. No, but they told me I had to come back to the house. I go, son, you're not. We're just going to take you to sleep it off, okay?
Yeah. So you better have that thing tucked away, safely hidden when you're not on the premises. All right, Jeff. Let's move on and get into some NFL draft thoughts. Last year you had a figure like Johnny Manziel who could have maybe gone anywhere from number one to, you know, dropping to where he did, maybe dropping out of the first round altogether. Who's the most interesting character in this draft, do you think?
Character?
Well, I mean, not character like Manziel. Yeah. I mean, just like...
Well, Jameis Winston's number one. I mean, to me, he's been 90% of the draft talk.
Yeah, which is strange because he's going... I mean,
he's going,
there's nothing to
one.
Talk about with him. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like... It's whether you... I wouldn't take him number one. Chris would.
I guess the latest thing is just where he claims he just had that hookup at Publix, right? That was that deal from last week. Yeah.
But it's like he's gotten so much of the attention. But last year, you had Manziel as that X factor. There were the two big-time defensive prospects. You had all the offensive tackles. You had these electric wide receivers. I mean, it was really a compelling draft last year. Whereas this was, it's a down draft. I mean, it's not nearly as good. And my good friend Bill Polian actually agreed with me on that one. But I just see Winston is really being far and away the most talked about guy.
Bill Polian also, I heard him say, does not believe Mariota will fall past number two.
So do you think there's going to be a trade there? That seems, I saw one of the Titans beat guys, and I like these guys who actually know the team. They're not just Britt McHenry's. Do you know who I am?
And actually, I don't, but when I find out, I'm going to release a tape of showing you, showing the world what you're doing to me right now.
But their guys, their insiders, seem to think there's a better than 50% chance they trade that pick. I get that feeling, too. And I'll give you a couple. I think that they would probably like that Leonard Williams or maybe Shane Ray. And then I just think with Mettenberger's size and arm, I think they're going
to
give him a
crack
at it.
They're willing to give it a go. I was actually looking at some numbers that Mettenberger had last year, and amongst rookie quarterbacks, he was one of the better ones.
I mean, we said it on this show, and understanding how the NFL is.
We say it all on this show.
That's right. With that size and that arm, I think it was even after the Georgia, where he and Murray both played great, said this kid, he could be the number one pick in the draft.
Well, and he probably would have gone higher had he not gotten injured.
Yes.
I mean, whatever he ended up was in sixth or seventh round.
Whether he succeeds or not remains to be seen.
They're willing to give it a shot.
I believe so. And if they feel like they can get a really good defender. And listen, Mariota, you got to say he's right there with Gary Beeman and Matt Leinart when you're talking about the great quarterbacks in Pac-12 history. But I don't know. And I guess I'm too much into history. I would just be too scared by Akili Smith and Joey Harrington and Darren Thomas and Dennis Dixon and just those Oregon quarterbacks.
What about Dan Fouts? He was pretty good.
Dan Fouts was good. Right, now, is this guy going to be Dan Fouts or Akili Smith?
Or Joey Harrington? Well, yeah. All right. Who do you think trades up and gets him?
Some sucker. Maybe the Jets.
The Jets are already sitting at six, don't you? I mean, they would be the team that would be a sucker, though, and actually move up to get him when they probably wouldn't have
to.
Jacksonville isn't going to draft him. The Raiders aren't going to draft him.
You know, you've even got these teams, like even Washington. So we might be. These teams are trying to get teams to trade.
Well, they just picked up the option on RG3.
It's ridiculous.
You know who could use, who needs a quarterback, but right now is not in a position to get one would be Buffalo.
No, you're right.
You know, Rex Ryan, could he have something up his sleeve?
I still think an X factor there. There's no way they can do it with those. Is there any way Cleveland would pull the trigger on it? There's no way you can take a quarterback in the first round back-to-back years unless they're just convinced Manziel it's not going to happen, and that was a miss.
Yeah, maybe they'll make Manziel like a running back or something.
I still wouldn't see that. And the Raiders aren't because they've got Derek Carr.
Jags aren't.
No,
in fact,
Bortles.
The Jags would love for Leonard Williams to be sitting
they
there
would.
At three.
They would. So I wouldn't take him if I was Tennessee.
Is Gurley the most interesting player in the
he
draft
could be.
Because he's injured? He's a running back. There hasn't been one taken in the first round.
But he's the best player in the draft.
Combined with Melvin Gordon, you've got two potential first-round running backs now.
Yeah, and he is the best player in the draft. He was the best player in the country last year, but it's at a position that in recent years has been devalued. He's going in the first round, though.
But it seems like where? Because, I mean, you know, there's still enough hints that maybe one of these teams will be crazy and take him in the top 10. Does he fall? I think the perfect destination for him, because you'd have two things. One is he wouldn't have to be leaned on immediately, and two, you're on a team that can make the playoffs. It'd be Houston. Because Arian Foster is running low on gas, but he's still there. And then whenever he falls apart, which could be at any moment, you're ready to take over there. And the Texans are right there. I mean, they're drafting 15th, so that tells you they're right there on the fringe of being a playoff team.
I think that'd be a great spot for him. That looks around where he's going to go. I think ideally for him in his playing career, to me, Seattle would be the optimum place to go. They've got an excellent offensive line. He'd have Lynch there for a year. I think that'd be a great spot for him to go.
The one that troubles me for him, if the Chargers are serious about trading Phillip Rivers, that'd be a terrible spot for him to end up in.
Why would they?
Because he would just end up hurt.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. I mean, it must be his contract, money.
But he kind of had a rejuvenation couple of years because I was never a big Rivers guy. I thought he was just a fantasy.
No, but his last
guy.
2 years have
been
really
excellent.
Good. Yeah.
And in that AFC, listen, that's why not?
The NFC seems that way. Now, I mean, we were talking about it the other day. Outside of Green Bay and Seattle, who else is there?
I know. And Green Bay, are they going to be too hungover? And for Seattle, I mean, just the wear and tear, back-to-back Super Bowls.
All right, Jeff, let's move on in today's 5 at 5. You came up with this a couple of years ago, the idea of an undercard for the SEC championship game, that there would be the actual SEC championship game, and then there would be a game before that, though, pitting the two teams with the most disappointed fan bases. So now that spring practices are over, preseason magazines are probably about to start hitting the printing presses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're here, you know, everyone's fired up. They got this guy and that guy, and spring looked great. Who are the most disappointing fan bases going to be right now? Who would you say will be the two teams in the SEC Championship Weekend undercard?
I'm going to try and read your mind because I think we're probably going to be on the same page. I'm going to say Florida against either A&M or Mississippi State, and I'm going to go MSU.
All right. I actually think Auburn is going to be the team in the West that ends up there. We got Jeremy Johnson, Will Muschamp. That program in Malzahn's 2 years is basically an 8-4 team.
They got insanely lucky.
And last year they were 8-4. But I just, to me, they're closer to that than the juggernaut that they were. They almost cashed in that ticket again and won the national title. But they're closer to the team that they were last season. But I think there's this idea that, you know, like we saw last year in that, you know, one of those Alabama papers that was ranking the SEC, and it's Alabama and Auburn, and then it's the rest of the league.
You realize 2 years ago they were 3-9.
Right, and that's why I think Auburn is still just closer to that. But they really seem like they're being positioned as a top five, Final Four team, SEC championship team. And that's why for me, it's Auburn in the West. I just don't know if Florida fans, if realistic, I mean, they are fans, I get that, but how can they have high expectations? They don't have an offensive line.
Let me tell you, I'll tell you another one. If Tennessee loses to Alabama, Georgia, and Florida again, which I don't think they'll lose to all three, if they do that and go like 7-5 or 6-6, it'll be the Vols in there because they are really banking on a big – and listen, I'm buying stock in Tennessee. I think they've got a legit shot to win the East, even though the schedule's brutal.
Well, I think the only two contenders in the East are Georgia or Tennessee to end up being let down at the end of the year.
Yeah, no, I could see that. Missouri's playing with house money now.
No, yeah, if they don't make it, fine. We've been there already. I don't know.
Twice.
I mean, who knows? Yeah, twice. Even in a year they lost at home to Indiana.
Oh.
We all know what fan is short for, but if you're a Florida fan, how can you be setting yourself up to have a great year when right now you have zero offensive linemen that have ever started a game?
Well, it's called we're blaming everything on the last coach. A new guy's going to save us. And that worked from Muschamp's second year when they had the great regular season.
Oh, yeah.
Meyer hadn't been recruited. Like, he did win two national titles, and you finished, third that other year.
Yeah.
So
then look what he was just a big dummy. It was all his fault. That Mike Bianchi was the one that was like,
oh, yeah.
He was the minister of Will Muschamp's propaganda machine.
And, hey, I'll tell you this, though. I can see from a local sports writer's standpoint how you would detest Urban Meyer. And those guys are human
beings. No, I understand, yeah.
Because I'm sure he bullied them just like Nick Saban does, but then he'll smooch the backside of the national guys. And that's what, listen, my LSU people tell me they love Les Miles. So he's good to the local people. He's not just.
Now, Coach Rick here is warm and fuzzy.
Absolutely. He doesn't put on an act.
But yeah, I mean, you would.
Oh, when I'd see Saban on with Fowler, oh, how are you? He just tries to look so thoughtful. And then on Tuesday, you're playing the tape of him yelling, and it pees me off that you're not giving Western Kentucky any blankety-blank respect. It's like, really?
And then some brown noser asks a question about their linebacker.
I'm glad you asked that. This kid's an SEC player. It's like,
they did go out and win that game favored by 40 by like 38, though, and that probably wasn't an accident.
Oh, no, because it was – I believe that game was like 31-0 at the half.
Yeah.
And even like DJ Fluker got three holding penalties.
Well, yeah, I think Western Kentucky had like 7 or 8 sacks in that game.
Yeah, so that was
– And that was that legendary Alabama O-line.
Oh, yeah. And you just got the feeling that it was one of those like, we don't need to get too cocky here.
Jeff, you texted me a picture earlier today. You were behind a vehicle that had both an Obama and a Georgia Tech bumper sticker on it.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny that that happened to you, because at some point last week, I got behind a car that had an I'm ready for Hillary sticker.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, I had it in my mind, I wonder what Jeff would prefer on his car.
Ooh.
That or a Tech bumper sticker.
Ooh.
Like if someone decided that they wanted to play a practical joke on you, or you made a bet and said, this is your losing bet. You're going to have to drive around with one of those on it. So it's funny that that happened, because I was going to ask you that last week. So I'm going to ask you that now that you saw that.
Well, I'll tell you
if
what.
If the Hawks make... Okay. The NBA Finals, you have to drive around with either I'm ready for Hillary or a Tech sticker.
I'd have to stick my head in the oven first. But I'll tell you what, I have ridden around with a Hillary one on once, because my buddy Matt Ades, who had come in town, snuck one a sticker. It was like Hillary for president. It was a magnet on my passenger side door. And then you kind of realize, like,
would never see that.
No.
Yeah.
So then finally, I think I was parked at the Hilltop Grill. And I was walking out to my car, and just the way I was like, what in the world is that on my car? I was like, oh, my gosh. And I just started. I was like, I've been driving around with that for 2 days. That was a mean practical joke.
So what would have been worse if he had done a tech one instead?
Man. Oh, gosh. Let's just say I'd have lost my...
I'm just asking for a friend.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's like the opposite of Sophie's Choice, I guess.
I just kill me. Yeah. Just kill them both.
All right, there you go. That's the 5 at 5 brought
what
to you
by... cruel... I hope your mother's
Yeah,
listening.
My mom's going to tell me
She's
that I mean to you again.
When you asked me whether you wanted Georgia to win or Romney to win, I'm like, oh, come on,
man. All right, the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. You see, I'm always thinking about you.
I appreciate it.
I saw an I'm ready for Hillary bumper sticker, and you're the first person I thought of.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.